What if someone just kept their mouth shut and never told you about Jesus? Where would you be? Somebody had to witness. But many are hesitant because they don't know answers to hard questions.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is How to Lead People to Christ and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to talk about how to lead people to Christ. If everybody would please stand for God's holy word, we will begin in key verse John chapter 1 verse 40. John chapter 1 verse 40 through 42. I'm reading out of the NIV, How to Lead People to Christ. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Holy Father, we thank you, God, for this gathering. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts once again to receive holy revelation from your word, God. Let it take root in our heart today, God, and let us live out your word, and let us carry your word to others and to their lives as well. In your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, we ask, amen. You may be seated. How to lead people to Christ. You don't have to be a preacher or pastor or even an elder in the church to make this happen. Andrew was a disciple. He was also Peter's brother, as he is noted in the Bible. Today, we're going to take a look at what Andrew did for Jesus and did for the church of his day. Number one, Andrew was a simple, ordinary man. Andrew in the Bible is usually noted as Peter's brother. That's how he's usually referred to. Not a whole lot of notoriety there, is there? He is only mentioned by name in 12 verses. In 8 of those verses, he is referred to as Simon Peter's brother. Looks like Peter's getting all the credit, doesn't it? But yet Andrew is a very important person, and we will find out. He is nearly always mentioned second. He's hardly ever put first in the mentioning. In lists of the apostles, he is in the middle. Andrew wasn't included in Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, John. You never hear Andrew mentioned in that circle, do you, in the Bible? Yet, he was one of the first two people to follow Jesus Christ. And there is no evidence in the Bible that Andrew ever got resentful of his backseat position. Are we following this? An ordinary man, one of the first two people to follow Jesus, and he was doing evangelistic work, yet he's hardly even noted for it. Yet, it's this very reason, I believe, that God allowed that to happen so that we can have an example for our own lives, that sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, I can't do anything for God's kingdom. I can't do anything for my church other than show up and warm a seat. But Andrew shows us differently. Andrew shows us that we can take a back seat and still make something happen for God. Amen? So you see the point of this sermon today, what I'm getting at. That no matter where you are in life, You can be like Andrew. You can follow Andrew's example. Many Christians believe they must have special traits or knowledge of God to evangelize. But Andrew shows us that knowing Jesus and pointing people to him is the important thing. Listen, it doesn't matter how much head knowledge you got or how fancy you can talk. Sure, that's important. But listen, if you miss the point of showing people Jesus Christ, you miss the whole point of evangelism. You miss the whole point. Andrew saw the important thing, Jesus, and he pointed people towards him. Andrew had only one claim to fame. He brought people to Jesus. That's all he did. That's all we read about in the Bible. Yet this was very important. The first thing we read of Andrew doing after he was introduced to the Savior was to go get his brother Peter. That was in verse 40 of the scripture we just read. He went and got somebody and told them about it. See, that's what we talk about when we say people are on fire for Christ. They don't want to shut up about them. You get a new car, you call up all your friends and tell them about it, don't you? If you like that car, you get a new house, you're going to be calling people, right? Your new toy, anything you're excited about, new baby on the way in the family, whether it be your grandson or your own child, you're going to start calling people, aren't you? Andrew was excited about Jesus. How did he get excited about Jesus? How did he do that? There's only one way to get excited about Jesus. Belief. Because if you don't believe in something, you won't be excited about it. Andrew had a great amount of faith to do what he did. Because I'll tell you right now, there's people that proclaim to be Christians right now that will not go to work and tell somebody about Jesus. They won't do it. They won't do it because they don't believe in him enough to do it. If you really believe in somebody's cause, you're going to be spreading the word about that cause. Andrew had Jesus' back. Andrew had Jesus' back. When the young boy with five loaves and two small fishes came to Andrew, he brought the boy to Jesus. Listen to what it says in John 6, verses 5 through 9. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Now listen, he didn't know what Jesus was going to do. But Andrew knew that Jesus could do something. Andrew knew that Jesus could do something. So while Jesus is testing Philip, Andrew is bringing somebody to Jesus. You see, that's why it's so important that we bring people to church. Because maybe we don't have the answer here. Maybe there's something that needs to be done at church that I don't have the skill to do because I don't know it all. And maybe we don't have the person sitting in the pews right now that can do something very important. But as time goes by and people are brought in, we get people with skill. We get people with assets that can help the church. This boy, he had something that God wanted to work with. Notice I said wanted to work with. He didn't have to have anything to work with. We all know that God can make food out of nothing. But see, the lesson we're learning here is that Jesus brought a small boy, Andrew brought a small boy to Jesus and let Jesus work something in that boy's life and the rest of their lives. When there were some Greeks who were looking for Jesus, it seems Philip didn't know what to do, but Andrew took them to Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 20 through 22. "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus." See, Andrew didn't know what to do once again, did he? Except for one thing he knew. Take him to Jesus. Take him to Jesus. You may not have all the answers, but you bring someone to church and let Jesus work in their life, they'll get the answer. They'll get the answer from the Lord. Because we don't have the answer, do we? The Bible has the answers, doesn't it? That's why we need to take them to Jesus. If we can't, listen, if we can't answer their questions, find somebody in the church that can answer a spiritual question or a biblical question. Find somebody. If you can't pray for somebody for whatever reason, maybe you're spiritually exhausted, maybe you don't know the right words to say, maybe you've never been there, maybe you just feel like you can't do it, bring them to somebody that will pray with them. Bring them along. Invite them along. Carry them along if you have to, but get them there. A lot of people are lost out there. And I remember, I haven't always been a church-going person myself. And I remember when I was lost in the world, church was scary to me. And it's always nice to have somebody come along and invite you. Isn't it nice to be invited to church so you don't have to go by yourself? There's somebody out there in our lives right now waiting to be invited. We cannot be too afraid or too ashamed of Jesus to get him here. Most of us are not bold leaders, but we all can be like Andrew. We can all be like him. Christians must sow seed to receive a harvest. We started this church in a garage about a year ago, and we started sowing seeds, and we're growing, are we not? And God is blessing us beyond our financial abilities. He's blessing us because he sees the vision, because he has made the vision. But we are the workers. God likes to work through people sowing their seed. You know why? You know why God likes to work through people sowing seed? Because he likes to include us in what he's doing. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Think about that. The next time you hear or feel God tugging at you to do something, he wants you to come along for the ride. He wants you to experience the blessing that he's about to bestow on someone in your life, or perhaps even for you. Witnessing to the unbeliever is crucial. Somebody had to witness to you. What if someone just kept their mouth shut and never told you about Jesus? Where would you be? Somebody had to witness. But many are hesitant because they don't know answers to hard questions. Some simply don't know their way around the Bible. But if we can't witness with confidence, we need to take them to someone who can point them to Jesus. I've had people bring me their friends and tell me, I don't know what to say to this person. Can you pray for them? Can you give them a word? And I don't always have the answers either. Sometimes I have to pray about it. I always do pray about it, but sometimes I really have to pray about it. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss, and I have to go to Jesus myself. That's what we need to be doing as a collective group. We're a family here, right? We're a family, not just a church where people meet up, but we help one another. We carry one another. We need to build this family and invite other people into it so that we can experience their love and they can experience our love, right? We can invite our friends to Sunday school and church. We can introduce them to a Christian friend who we know is more knowledgeable, perhaps the pastor of your church or an elder. Third, the Christian's part in leading people to Christ. This is the Christian's part. We must have a desire for them to be saved. Now listen to this. You have to get lined up with God about this. Because I've heard out of the mouths of Christians, some, not all, judging thoughts about another human being. Well, I don't think that person can be saved. I don't think that person deserves to be saved. Look what they're doing. Look what they've done. You got to have a desire in your heart, first and foremost, to get a person saved if you want to grow your church. Why is that so important? Because God blesses your intentions when your intentions are lined up with his will. And we all know that it's not God's will that anybody be lost, yet we know that they are lost. But the main point here is that if we have a burning desire to bring people to Jesus for the sake of salvation, then God's holy strength and love will empower us to come do that. He will give us that strength. He will give us that love. And he will open the doors. But if our intentions are selfish, I just want a bigger church so we can get a bigger building and fancier furniture, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't want to bless that. Because, see, once that person gets to a church like that, they're in a dead church where salvation isn't taught. Where are they going to grow as a Christian? Why would God bless that? No, he's going to take them to another church where they care about that person's salvation. That doesn't mean that churches don't grow that way. You can get them in the door, but are you growing fruits when you're there at a dead church? No. We want to grow fruits here. What am I talking about when I say fruits? I'm talking about spiritual fruits, love and patience and kindness, long-suffering. We must pray for them. It's one thing to invite them, but I tell you what, as soon as you invite somebody to church, guess what happens? The devil comes. And he says, oh, no, you don't want to go to church. That's what he says to the unbeliever or even to the Christian who's been out of church backsliding. And you invite them along and the devil comes and whispers in their ear, you don't want to go to church today. No, you want to sleep in or you don't want to go to that church. I'm sure there's something wrong with that church. Whatever the lie, he's working on them. He might even try to keep them up late Saturday night or busy. Or Sunday morning, try to sabotage their Sunday morning. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray before you invite them. Lord, give me the right words to say when I invite this person. Give me the right timing to invite this person. And God, help them get to church. There's been Sunday mornings when people have called me up and said, I can't make it to church because this is going on. And I get down on my knees and pray, Lord, get this person to church. They need it. I need it. I need you guys to show up. I need your prayers and your strength. I'm not too humble to say it. I'm not a perfect man because I preach. Don't you know the devil's got a bullseye on my back just like he does yours? You should see some of the things that he did to our worship leader. He'd been picking on him. He ran our last worship leader off. He couldn't take it no more. Gave up. He wants to break you and stop your friends from coming. You have an enemy. And he's not just your enemy. He's the enemy to the people that you're inviting along to. Inviting along. He wants to get them and keep them out of church. Somebody this morning was telling me about all of these things coming up in their life. And I know that they're trying to change their life for God, for the better. And the devil's been beating on them. And I told them, we need to pray after service because the devil has got a bullseye on you right now. Devil can't be at all places at all time. How many of you know that? But I tell you what, he's interested in those who are going to church. He sends his dominions. People don't believe this, but you know what? The devil sends his dominions to church. Now see, some pastors won't teach you that, but the Bible teaches that. Jesus went to a synagogue and a man possessed of an evil spirit said, Jesus, what do you want with us? He was calling Jesus out in a synagogue. The devil goes to church. This is his battleground. Think about it. You go where the fight is, right? The devil ain't hanging out with the lost people on Sunday. The devil and his demons are hanging out in church trying to stop the church people from growing and learning. He wants to distract you and keep you in bondage. Amen. We must tell them what Jesus did for us. Give them our testimony. Raise your hand if you have a testimony. Oh, come on. Everybody's got a testimony. You're in church. That's one testimony right there. Listen to me. If you ain't got something to tell them about Jesus, you better start being more thankful in your prayer time. Because listen, when we start thanking God, he'll start bringing up some stuff that you're leaving out. Not for his sake, but for your sake, so that you can get a grateful heart and keep coming back to him knowing about his grace. That's why God reminds you of the things to be thankful for, so that you keep coming back to him because you have not because you ask not. But listen, we must tell them about Jesus. We had to tell them what he did for us. I mean, I can go on all day long. Some people have to shut me up when I start telling what Jesus did for me. See, some of us think, well, my life is a wreck. How can I tell them what Jesus is doing for me? You woke up this morning breathing, right? Some people didn't wake up this morning. Some people did not wake up this morning. In our world, some people did not wake up. People die every day. And the reality of it is that a lot of those people, I'm sorry to say it, went to hell because somebody didn't stand up and invite them to church. Now, getting to church doesn't get you saved, but it sure is a good start, isn't it? Isn't it? We must invite them to a place or an event where they will hear the gospel. Listen, if you know of something going on that you can get them to, and it's not just this place, but somewhere else where Jesus is being spoke of in the gospel, get him there. Wherever it is that they're talking about Jesus and the gospel, that's where you want them at. You want to be vigilant about this. You don't want anybody lost because you sat on the sidelines. We're all players in the game, right? We're running the good race, aren't we? We all got a part in this. We must not judge them. And this could be a big one for Christians because we can look at somebody who is in a world of sin and we can say, I'm glad I'm not like them. Shame on you. Because you know that before Jesus came along, your sins were covering you just as much as they're covering that person. It's only because of the grace of God that your sins have been washed away from you. And you know without Jesus in your heart, you'd be just as bad or worse. You know it. One person once told me, if it wasn't for the law, and I knew, and he said he knew he'd get caught, he would be a lot worse person. But he just didn't want to get in trouble for some of the thoughts that went through his head. I mean, he's being honest with me, but it's kind of scary when you hear it like that. It wasn't his heart holding him back. It was the fear of the law. We need to fear God because he can destroy the body and the soul. And we need to take that fear to the unbeliever, knowing that if we don't witness to them and nobody else witnesses to them, they might be lost. I don't want to go to heaven one day looking around for people that I love and care about and asking Jesus where they at and him say to me, you were the only one they had contact with that could tell them the gospel and you didn't do it. That's why they're not here. You didn't bring them to Jesus when you had the opportunity. I don't want that said to me. And you know what? Sometimes I think it might be said to me about a few people because I cowered down. I got lazy. I got complacent. I got too busy. I'm sure there's going to be a few people up there I don't see because I didn't push it hard enough. God can do a work in their lives, but a person must hear the word to be saved. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it. I wish I could stand outside and get every person that drives by in here and get them to worship with us on Sunday. I can't do that. And neither can any one of us do that. But we can all bring people in. And I know that for the most part, we are doing that. And I am so grateful. And I want to encourage us to continue doing that, knowing that just getting them here could be enough. Could be. And in most cases, will be. Just got to get him here. And let Jesus take it from there. Out there, they're wandering around in a circle, confused and lost, with no direction, no shepherd. But in here, they have a family. They have direction. They have people praying with them and for them. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? Together, we're strong. Scattered, The devil pick us off one by one. My wife and I watch these wild animal shows. Well, we do. And we see how the lions run into the pack of animals and scare them apart so the babies are separated. And then they tackle the little babies, the weak ones. The devil does it to the sheep of God. He tries to scatter the sheep, scare you off out of church, make you run. And then he got you alone. And you know, it's a terrible thing because we have big hearts. We're always rooting for the animal that's running. And we see how they break them away from the pack, away from their mother and their father and the big animals that are protecting the babies. And the babies get out there alone and they just run them down until they get too tired or they trip. They mess up. For instance, we watched one animal. He was a little bit faster than the predator chasing him, but he messed up. He misstepped. He tripped, and that was all she wrote. Now listen, there's people out there, they're running from God. They don't even know they're running from God, but they're running. And they're being chased by the devil, the real enemy. He's the one that's chasing them, but they're running from God. And it only takes one misstep for this person to trip and to fall for the devil to get them on their back and go for their jugular. Just like the animals in the shows that my wife and I watch. And once they're down and they got a hold of that neck, my wife and I look at each other and we're like, oh no, it's over. We don't want that to happen to our friends and our family. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. I know how the devil can get a hold of you, but it's a lot harder for him to get a hold of you in the church with people praying for you, watching out for you. Amen? So how do churches grow? How do churches grow? Growth is usually one by one. See, we just don't open the doors and people flock in. Maybe there's some churches that grew that way. I don't know. But true churches that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that are growing fruits, they're grown by one by one. One by one. Mass conversions are very rare. Very rare. Very rare. Great movements are usually one by one.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.